revolution.
The future of radio.
You're weak. Unsure of yourself.
Actually,
the fact that you possess a sense of morality and we do not gives us an evolutionary advantage.
CyberstationUSA.com.
And if history has proven anything,
there's another problem with TV, believe it or not.
It is that evolution always wins.
All right, it's Total Education Hour time and a half-hour segment, but we're going to go into something that is very, very interesting, but I'm excited to welcome to the program my co-host, Ed Temple. Ed, how are you? It's Wednesday night. We're live on StreamYard, and we did it a better way this time. We did not let me try to stream it because of the amount of power it needs to kind of record professionally, so I'm like, forget about it. You know, technology, right, Ed? As you're seeing, it's not the easiest thing in the world. You use Zoom, it's very simple. I did it with Zoom, and we had a really, really great conversation with a political person last week, and I mean, it's just amazing. So let me go ahead and introduce our guest as I'm just kind of getting into all of this stuff, and so I'm excited to welcome the program, and I'm going to go and pull up your bio. That's probably the best thing, Ed, you put out there for sure. I was like, holy cow. When I got to see this person, we're excited to welcome him, Kevin Soling. You are you produce documentaries, and you've written a book. Kevin, thanks for calling, and I appreciate coming on the show today.
Oh, well, I appreciate you having me. I'm looking forward to chatting.
Absolutely, and so tell us your background. I was quite impressed. Now, I guess I'm definitely you're above my pay grade when it comes to education, Kevin.
I have a background in many different things. I've worked in film. I've worked in music. I'm in academia. Sort of collecting degrees at Harvard right now. I'm working on number four, actually. So I have one in English and education, journalism. Well, finishing up journalism, and now I'm at the Kennedy School for a degree in public administration.
How would you have time, Kevin, to go ahead and write a book with going full time to school, all your other ventures? How are you able to do it?
It's something I'm very passionate about. I got into film a number of years ago. I kind of had an idea for a project. Film is one of the few things I didn't go to school for. So it's probably why that's what I do professionally. That's kind of consistent with my MO. As I made a bunch of documentaries, I ended up doing one on education, and this is and I spent about 8 or 9 years working. It's been a long time. I mean, I was working on other projects at the same time too, but no one had ever really done a film on education before. So I figured I could kind of take my time on it, and sure enough, the following year, Waiting for Superman came out, and that had Guggenheim money behind it, and kind of sucked all the air out of the room. But mine was an honest documentary. That was sort of propaganda for charter schools, the movie was called The War on Kids, and it did get a fair amount of attention, and it got me on Colbert and a bunch of other talk shows and stuff, and it was something I that just really resonated with me. I went to public school, and I kind of figured because I did well and didn't have any discipline problems either. But it was an absolutely miserable and demeaning experience being, in school. And the school I went to is, certainly considered one of the best in the country, but it was, it was a nightmare being there. It was just absolutely miserable. And there was, just a tremendous amount of suffering among, the student body, including, suicide attempts and some succeeding as well. And that's actually pretty common. And all this is just overlooked. And I figured, if one of the people who did, the people who complain the most, they usually, attribute it to sour grapes, like, of course you hate school, you did poorly. So, you can't, I'm sort of exempt from that charge. So I figured it was kind of a burden on me to step up and really expose what's going on and to try to provide people with the means to, the students, that is, to fight back and sort of take control of their lives, because they're absolutely powerless in that environment. And, you know, the book that I've just, you know, recently come out with, Student Resistance Handbook, is provides information on ways that they actually can exercise some degree of agency.
Okay, Ed, go ahead with your first question.
Yeah. Guys, hear me okay?
Yeah, we hear you from.
Okay, you're fine. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I was just, for me, obviously, I actually, you know, just watching things on things that you've posted with the war on kids and so on, is I actually kind of agree with you that you even mentioned that homeschoolers, if you want to see the evidence that school's a failure, you can just look at the evidence of how well homeschoolers do that don't go to, you know, the compulsory schools, how well they do compared to the average student. And that's exactly right. And so I guess where I'm going with that is, so what's your solution?
So that's sort of jumping ahead. So the solution is it's not a one size fits all kind of thing. And that's one of the things that you have to appreciate is that everyone's different and people learn differently. And yeah, and some people need a lot more structure and a lot more grounding, and a lot more guidance. And some people thrive in environments where they're, you know, just kind of free to pursue what they want. And it's basically the process is one that involves a sort of restructuring of society to a certain degree. But when and people don't realize that compulsory schooling it's more a return to. Compulsory schooling is a recent invention. It was invented in Prussia, and it was invented in Prussia as a means to train people to become good soldiers. The Prussians had just suffered a humiliating defeat to Napoleon, and they realized the reason was because the soldiers weren't taking orders. So they created this model where people would shut up, you know, eyes forward at some authority figure, their teacher, and take orders in a docile manner. That was then exported, that concept, to the United States, and it was first implemented in 1852. And it wasn't done to create good soldiers. It was thought by Horace Mann that you could take this model and use it to promote egalitarianism. So that was actually the initial purpose of schooling. And the purpose of schooling has constantly changed, even though the model hasn't changed, which is the most unscientific thing that you can possibly conceive. So in 1852, the literacy rate in Massachusetts, where it was first introduced, was 97.2%. I looked at the census, and so that's available. It's, you know, misreported in different places. I went to the source. So 97.2%. So it wasn't brought in for literacy. It wasn't, you know, and from that point on, you know, it just was in rapid decline, literacy, as a result of compulsory schooling. So and actually the parents, you know, refused to turn their kids over and let them go, you know, even though at schooling at that point was only, you know, 2 or 3 days a week for four hours a day or something. But the parents staged a protest. The National Guard had to be brought in to take children away from their parents. And then gradually state after state, you know, eventually accepted compulsory schooling. And it wasn't until 1917, 1912, somewhere around there, where all 50 states, you know, accepted. So it's a recent invention, and it hasn't brought anything that it allegedly promised. So it's a return to this, you know, to an approach where you have students that are basically, or children rather, who are there's still education, you know, there can still be environments where there is learning taking place, but they're there voluntarily, and you don't need grading, because if people are self-motivated to learn, if this is why when you see children who are, you know, who are gifted. And gifted only meaning that they're, you know, that they already understand and know, you know, the material that's in the class. You know, they're bored silly. It's not, you know, they want to be challenged. We're wired to be challenged.
Exactly.
And so the gifted students can't deal with the classroom environment because, you know, they're not challenged. people need to be challenged. You know, I always get this backlash thing. Oh, you know, if you don't, if kids aren't forced to learn, they won't learn. And
see,
there's absolutely no evidence for that.
And so, and you looked at that model, and you're right, it's broken. I had a conversation on one of my other shows today regarding that whole thing about one size fits all education doesn't work. And so many people have tried to figure out that system in the last 16 years or 12 years. I'm already kind of pushing the 16 from No Child Left Behind till today with Betsy DeVos and all the just complete fiasco of education. I understand where you're coming from, looking at the one room schoolhouse as a successful way of teaching. And when I was a special education teacher, I saw that was the perfect environment where I individualized instruction for every student in the class. So there was no lectures. I was basically going around and tutoring one-on-one with about 8 to 10 kids. And it worked really, really well.
Well, there were problems with the one-room schoolhouse. I mean, it's better in many senses because you didn't have age segregation. So children would, you know, and one of the best ways to learn is to teach. So you had the older students teaching the younger students how to read. You didn't have the teacher teaching it. You know, you had the teacher might teach, you know, do some teaching, but it was passed on. And you don't have that now. There's no peer, you know, process. Everything is age segregated and everything is, you know, coming from the mouth of the teacher. I'm sorry. I mean, please continue.
No, that's okay. No, but that's my point. It works. It works. And you individualize instruction. When I would teach in the classroom, which again was a totally different style, was I was really involving, I wasn't a facilitator. I was still having a lesson being taught, but ultimately I was looking at every one of the kids. Once the lesson was taught, the direct instruction model, I had specific group work or individualized work based on the student's ability. Then the kids that got the lesson would go on. The kids that were brilliant would go on and work on more challenging work. Then I would work one-on-one with the students that didn't get it. And the fact of the matter is we weren't forced into any specific thing. You could tailor that for each individual student. And even in a regular ed classroom, it works. But the thing is, how do you evaluate
the best
that
environment from all?
Okay, sorry.
The best environment from all research, what it shows us is that self-directed education is the best thing. And it's kind of logical. You're going to learn the things that you're interested in, and the things that you're not interested in, you're going to resist. And so if you think of a library, you know, that kind of model where if you go into a library and you're interested in some subject, the library is a mentor and the library will say, hey, what are you interested in? You say, oh, I'm interested in cars, maybe. And you're brought to the section where there are cars and you're like, well, what part of cars? Are you interested in the history of cars? Are you interested in car, you know, mechanics and building a car? You know, and you say one thing and the library will say, hey, here's some good books on that. But you know what? You might also be interested. That's kind of related. And then they can introduce you to something and maybe you're interested, maybe you're not.
That's the way.
But if you're interested in, let's say, auto mechanic, you know, if you're placed in a room with all the parts of an engine and you're motivated and someone says, hey, build an engine, you will spend 24 hours without sleep working on building that. And to anyone else, they'd say, oh, that's work. But no, it's not work. It's satisfying. It's fun for you. Anyone else would go, look, oh, you know. And that's the thing that people don't get, that work can be fun if it's self-motivated, if you have a reason or a purpose for it. And that's, you know, and that kind of, that's the kind of environment we need to create where you have both, you know, the abstract learning of a library, but also where there's opportunities for engagement in the real world where the actions and things you do have a purpose, which was in the past apprenticeship.
All right.
We need, you know, something, a type of structure that permits that.
All right. Ed, next question for Kevin.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with the premise that the current system isn't working. So in your, you know, and obviously you're mentioning there's not a one size fits all, and you're exactly right. Clearly what's going on is failing. Would you be in favor then of taxpayer money following the student, or
we have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order. there is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Getting rid of the idea of compulsory education altogether.
I compulsory education cannot be reformed. It'll never be reformed. It cannot be reformed. The whole word compulsory. Once you're forcing someone in an environment, and you're not just forcing them in an environment. I mean, it's monopolistic. You can't, you know, no one has to work to create something that's meaningful or worthwhile when the population is forced to be there. And this is precisely what we see. And then that's the first problem. The second problem is you have a hierarchical autocratic environment, and no one learns, you know, when they're deprived of all of their basic civil rights and they have no control over their lives. You know, what do you see in prisons? You see, you know, I mean, yeah, you have a violent population, but bullying, that whole, you know, every pathology emerges in a type of environment, you know, where you're held powerless. You're held literally in captivity. The definition of captivity is, you know, for laboratory animals is when movement is limited, they're removed from their attached environment. You know, they only provided their basic survival needs. They've limited privacy and they're tamed, so they don't want to escape. They don't want to leave. And that's, you know, what goes on in school. And there's all sorts of consequences, you know, to being in captivity. It affects your, you know, it leads to anxiety and depression. And we're just drugging kids to cope with, you know, all these problems. And there are certain features, like if you looked at, you know, evaluating a school and you want to go, well, what's the best school? Well, parents will typically try to look into test scores and where the kids graduate and, you know, if they go off to the better colleges or what percentage. But the fact that one of the things they should be looking at is the suicide rate. And that's something that's, you know, that's hardly discussed. But the Centers for Disease Control every 6 years puts out a report called Youth Risk Behavior. And the numbers are staggering. I just could not believe the numbers, and it's consistent every time. It's 1 out of 12 high school students, 1 out of 12 makes an attempt on their life. Average class is at least 24 students. That means if you're a teacher, average classroom, 2 of those kids that you're looking at on, have or are going to make an attempt on their own life, and 1 out of 6 of them. So that means 4 of them will seriously consider suicide. I mean, make, you know, plans of some, you know, capacity. Those numbers are absolutely insane. And obviously, those numbers are typically much higher, you know, at the schools that where there's more pressure, where there's, where they go off to, you know, to the better schools. I mean, do you really want to risk that as a parent, placing your child where the odds are, you know, pretty good that they're going to become suicidal?
That's scary. And that's the point I made on, with Miss Altman, Ed, on Saturday. I said ultimately that you can't just look at test scores and evaluating a school. You have to look at so many different components, and behaviors one of them, but also the bullying. And lastly, again, suicide rate. How many kids are depressed? All these different things go into making a safe school. And that's where you go the word compulsory education versus, you know what, if these kids just don't work well in a big school environment in a high class, let's make sure we as public educators provide that student an alternative choice at home where they might learn better. They might learn better and are not going to deal with all the issues. They still could have a social life, but they have an environment and they're not going to be ostracized saying, you got to go find a cyber charter school. We as a school district are going to provide a not homebound. We're going to provide a better environment for you because it's just not the right fit. Or the parents sees the same thing.
But to answer your question, though.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, I do believe in taxation. I believe the taxes should, but they shouldn't follow the student because the student isn't going anywhere. They should go into the community. So you need educational resources, like, you know, if you start going to libraries today, their libraries are doing some pretty exciting things to make the environment, really a good place for, for teenagers and younger kids, as far as how they're structured, to really be, a fun place to be and a learning environment. And if you can, really develop that and certainly the communities that, that are more impoverished, should have top notch libraries and the resources to bring people in, to talk and to introduce kids to new ideas and not in a way that they're tested, but, if they're hearing someone that they, and there's a lot of celebrities that would be excited to come out and talk to kids, again, in lower economic sector, neighborhoods, to reach out and change lives and to enlighten people about possibilities and possibilities through learning and support them in those environments, as opposed to, the school model is completely rigged against the poor. And that's, yes. Which is why, they're designed to promote the status quo. And there's this, the lie that schools are a means to escape poverty enables people to blame the poor for being poor. It's used like, well, you have schools, if you're not breaking out, then it's your fault, but the schools are designed to, like I said, they're rigged, to sustain the status quo. They have the best predictors of school is family income and obedience to authority. Are the two, time and time again, every research shows that. And it's the kids whose parents, if you have two working parents or only one parent in the home who's working, you're not going to get that support so that when you get into school, you're already behind, and once you're behind, then you're going to be in remedial classes and you're going to, and because everything is on a curve, as far as grading, the wealthiest families also have the loudest voices. And are going to make sure that that their kids are going to be at the top. So it's that much harder. That and then the content, the curriculum is just so abstract that if you're struggling, I know my grandparents when they emigrated to great grandparents and grandparents when they emigrated to America, vocational was the first step. That was a necessary step when you come in, is it's getting a job and getting the best job that you can get and learning a trade and a skill and hopefully you can develop and move up and generally it's kind of if you have a skill, a marketable skill, then it's pretty much a certainty that you'll have a reasonable income. But schools don't teach anything that's meaningful that way. And because the schools are uniform, everyone's learning the same skills. And if everyone is learning, identical skills, if you're an employer, you know, there's nothing to differentiate the people except, you know, this arbitrary, you know, grades, which mean nothing. And which, again, like I said, are rigged against. But it's, you know, supply and demand. You don't have a labor supply as a result of school that's differentiated.
Wow. Okay, Ed, next question.
Okay, so I hear you saying, you know, the tax money should not follow the kid. Should the kid be able to have a choice where they go? In other words, do they have to go to the government schools, or where do they go with their, where does a parent, what's the choice a parent has?
Well, like I said, that, you know, money should go into the community. I do believe, you know, I do believe education should be supported. I do not believe that compulsory schooling should be an option just because I believe in human rights. You know, I it shouldn't exist. It's a blight on civilization. The one of the things, you know, there are certain pathologies that arrive from institutions that are just fundamentally depraved by their, you know, by their design, and compulsory schooling is just that. And I mean, the things that are permitted, and the, you know, 19 states, corporal punishment is legal, which is, you know, yeah, it's not universal, but that's, you know, poor defense. Because over 100,000 kids are seriously hit in school each year, many requiring emergency room visits. You can't hit the worst, most, you know, unrepentant, violent criminal, but students, well, that's okay. You know, there was a recent lawsuit went to the Supreme Court over a girl who was strip searched because they were looking for ibuprofen based on hearsay, and everything about it. And the courts, you know, they said that, yeah, they probably went a little too far, but nothing's going to happen because teachers have qualified immunity. So there's no consequences. So, you know, it's not like has a crime take place if no one is, you know, if there are
right,
no consequences,
exactly.
You know,
no.
But that you can just treat kids this way with no. So, I mean, those are just, you know, some of the problems. Then, of course, you know, like I said, there's all of the, you know, the kids, you know, there's studies that show that there's diminished empathy. Erwin Staub did these studies on children as they got older, and the longer they spent, the more time they spent in compulsory schooling, the less they care about their fellow person. And there was a, you know, control, you know, so they know it was, you know, there was good reason to believe that it was the school environment, you know, that was, you know, responsible for this. Is diminished in creativity, decreases, increase in anxiety, depression, learned helplessness, chronic stress. Chronic stress is particularly notable,
right?
Because chronic stress is associated with all sorts of health consequences, obesity and heart disease and stuff. And when you're in an environment that's chronically stressful, so no, there's no reason that anyone should be going to compulsory schooling. Should there be options that are, you know, that are government financed, democratic schooling, and there's all sorts of different approaches, which I was saying about different types of environment with people, you know, learn differently. So there are you can still have schooling without having compulsory schooling. It just turns into an environment,
exactly,
where
yeah,
they actually have to meet the needs of people, and you actually have to have
right,
sufficient
right,
faith, you know, in children, you know, that they're going to actually work. And like I said, you know, they do, from all, you know, all evidence shows, you know, that people want to learn, and people will pursue learning when it's meaningful for them.
So what would you,
so, yeah,
what would you say to teacher
yeah,
unions? Yeah, what would you say to teacher unions that are so anti what you're talking about right now?
You know, what do I say? I think anyone who supports the institution a vile institution is complicit, and that's why the Student Resistance Handbook exists. It's, you know, I think there are many good people. A lot of good people got into teaching.
Me too. I did it, and I got the heck out because I didn't like what it was becoming. And I'm glad I got out when I got out.
Yeah, they should. Mm-hmm. If they don't know it, they should have a wake up call at some point and say, hey, I signed up for teaching because I wanted to help kids. I did not sign up for this. And so much of what I see of the good teachers, the good people, rather, not the good teachers, because if you're in that environment, they try to mitigate the harm. You know, it's doing, you know, they try to do less harm. They're already doing harm by you know, signing up. But so many of them aren't able to, you know, don't have faith in themselves to be able to get out and do anything else. And they, you know, so there's an economic incentive for them to stay in the system, you know, and fear. And the whole system is driven by fear. Everyone's looking over their shoulders. You know, the teachers are looking over their shoulders at the principal, the superintendent, you know, the school board. The school board is, you know, got the community. Yes.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyrus Mission USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
Stitcher.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
And the students are just, you know, crapped on by everyone. You know, no one cares about the student. And that's one of the most amazing things is that schools are supposedly, in theory, designed to serve the students. And the students are always an afterthought. Every aspect of schooling from when the schools open is decided by the unions, usually the bus driver union or the, you know, teachers unions, you know, when school starts, not around. You know, nothing is devoted or has any consideration of what you know, what kids want or need. I mean, the whole, you know, the bell system and, you know, going from one class to another is so counter to you know, yes, to how we learn. You know, the fragmentation of knowledge. It's
great points, Kevin. Go ahead with your another question, Ed. We're kind of running out of time, but I want you to get one more question for Kevin. Go ahead, Ed. You there? Ed.
You can ask the question.
Yeah.
I had my mic on mute. But I guess my question was the position seems to be somewhat libertarian. Would you have a problem with the with kids using, you know, with the, you know, the money that they're paying, I assume that you mean in property taxes. Would that money be able to go towards them attending a charter school, a private school, or would it have to be a public school?
No, I think you're sort of repeating the same question that I think I've sort of answered. That so charter schools are public schools. They're just, you know, they're just privately run public,
yes,
schools. So they're still bound by the same rules and, you know, as public schools. So I don't think that any money should govern. You know, I totally believe in government's support of education. I believe in you know, in a different kind of tax structure. But yes, I do believe in taxation, and I believe that taxes should support education. I do not believe in the school system, which I think is contrary to education. I don't believe, you know, that compulsory schooling, you know, should exist, and I don't believe the autocratic model of that's hierarchical. You know, where children are not able to pursue the things that they're interested in a supportive environment. Again, we do need teachers, but the teachers need to be retrained as mentors, and money should be available to environments, you know, like libraries that can be extensively developed, like, you know, like schools. There can be schools, but not schools as the way we see them. And yes, you know, they can and should be funded, but their attendance, you know, can and should be voluntary. But money should be there, and money, especially in the communities that need those resources more than others.
Okay. Now, Kevin, listening to all of what you said,
yeah,
which is spot on. I think that you are anti any type of classroom if it's the way we are talking about, not just public education, but charter schools, which are public schools, school vouchers, private schools, all of them that are going in this compulsory model of education where one size fits all. That's your big, I guess. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that is correct. You can still have lectures. You can still have, you know, people who are expert, and you'd have authority and have people. I mean, authority in terms of knowledge, not authority over others. But yes, you can still have, you know those kinds of model, but not the compulsory component, and not and you don't need grading. You can have, you know, you can accomplish things and attain expertise that can then be recognized and acknowledged.
All right. Best place we can find information on your purchase. One more question, Ed. Then we gotta say goodbye. Go ahead with that question.
I don't want to belabor the question, because Diane Ravitch makes these lines very blurry, because they, even though charters are, for example, they're considered public schools, that's not, they separate the two of them. But what I want to get at is, school choice. What do you think about school choice? And I know it sounds like I'm repeating the question. The question is, though, when you take your taxpayer money, does the kid that can't afford to go to private school have to pay out of pocket, or is that part of the taxation?
There's no, you know, you're asking me questions about a system that I don't think is valid, you know, that I'm negating. I'm saying is, you know, we shouldn't have that environment. So there's no money following anyone. There's, you know, there are communal, you know, monies go toward, you know, things like libraries. It's not following anyone. There's no, you know, so there you have different options that are available to students.
Yes.
That are provided, you know, by, you know, through taxes. But they're not. They're just options and available to people to go to as they wish. So there's no, you know, there's no compulsory environment that they're opting to go to. There's no that the choice. The choice is just, you know, where, you know,
it's still going to be the same.
Where do you
system.
Want to go on that particular day?
Right. That's not your brand, Kevin. Yeah. Meaning, I hate to say your brand, that you're looking to change education just like me, transform it in the way I tried to transform my classroom, to get rid of the thought process of how we taught kids. If you have a charter school or a public school or even a private school, and this will be the last question, I know you'll agree with me on this, and we don't have a one-size-fits-all education, we have an open environment of teaching, we look at each individual student's progress, we're not going to look at the test scores, and we're going to provide a safe environment for kids, you're for it completely, right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So and you know, it's open and available, and if you don't like it, you don't go. Make them actually serve the students.
Yes.
Serve the people they're supposed to serve. And if it, until that happens, I encourage students to fight back and resist. And that's why
you wrote your book. And where can we purchase your book and learn more about you, Kevin? You're great, and I appreciate
it. You can go to studentresistance.com, and there's all sorts of tactics. And the great thing about the book is that even if kids don't actually take the step of utilizing any of the tactics, it provides a great deal of consolation to kids and helps them cope with the stressful environment of schools to know that they can, that there is something that they're living, a powerless existence, but there is something that if they ever had the courage or ever, were pushed that far, that they could actually take some steps and turn the tables on their teachers and administrators, and that they're not as, that they're more vulnerable than the students have been led to believe. There are different things that they can do that the book outlines, that like I said, turn the table on the people that are oppressing them.
All right. Well, fabulous. Thanks for calling. Great show. And really, really enjoyed your conversation. And you and I have the same thought process of education, but we just got to literally tell the kids your right to rebel. We got, and this is the last thing, I guess, what drives me nuts is when I find out teachers that are getting salaries that sit at their desk the entire time and hand them worksheets. And that happens at one of the best school districts that my kids go to. And then are not teaching and instructing the kids. They're just babysitting them. And that's just a crime in so many ways. And documentary, I'd love to do a real documentary of what truly is happening in our classrooms. So I wish we could.
Well, the war on kids is that. The war on kids. Check out the war on kids.
Okay.
But you go to thewaronkids.com and you can see that.
Yeah, well, we need to do one more. I guess I got to check that out, and we'll go more into it. But thanks for calling, Kevin. Appreciate it. And continued studies to continue to get more and more degrees and go in and rebel. Maybe a political run for you at one point. Who knows? We'll have to see.
We'll see.
The next Secretary of Education.
Well, thank you.
The next Secretary of Education, Kevin Soling. I love it. All right, take care. Thanks again. All right, guys, that was the Total Education Hour. Take care, everyone. Thanks. Student and tailor a program for them, right?
Right, in a busy school day. And that really is achievable, Neil. If you simplify learning, you will simplify your teaching. And when I think back to 10 years ago, when the PACT was just an inception in my mind, and the PACT is a four-step, not 20-step, four-step teaching method that's color-coded to use with children from preschool all the way through graduation into college years. And so it doesn't have an expiration date. And when I think way back to why I developed that is because there was such a difference between what was happening in the general studies classrooms to what was happening for students that needed more help, those students in special education. And I think that we need to view education as one circle where we could use the same strategies to meet the needs of all students as long as we personalize instruction, right?
And that's it, personalizing instruction. And that's what the show will be about. We'll be talking about a lot of your projects you're working on. Each show will have a different theme. I'm sure you'll bring on guests at one point in time. But we'll also be talking about the product, your app, but also looking at your modules you're trying to develop, and also some of your talks you do, or again, charitable ventures. You are someone that always gives, Phil, and you ultimately see that the reason you expanded what you do as a consultant in the classrooms is that you want everyone to have your knowledge that you've learned for so many years and your mindset. You have a growth mindset about education. You believe that every student can achieve. And that's what we're missing in public education, private schools, anywhere, is that we need to motivate teachers to believe that every student can achieve. And that is,
and students will achieve if we provide them with the proper types of instructional strategies to build their skills. I always say to the thousands of educators that I trained that children learn two ways. They learn with their brain from their mind, and they learn with their heart and you have to do it both ways. And that's where you get the high engagement, if kids understand the purpose of what they're doing, the what, why, and how. And, you know, I say to people all the time, I just want to make sure that you have the tools that you need. It's not just about the content. You know, good content doesn't equal sound instruction, right? You and I have talked about this in the past.
Exactly.
And some of the new seminars and course series that I'm teaching now, both in the United States and also outside the United States. I was excited to tell you about that because the pact has now expanded to Saudi Arabia and four countries in Africa, which is so meaningful to me, to England, and also to a limited extent parts of Italy and Australia. So this is making sense to people, and I think the reason it's making sense is because students are engaged, they're learning faster, they're excited about what they're doing, and most importantly, they're understanding how one lesson in a classroom connects to the lesson the next day. It's not this standalone one and done that we are all over the road. If we're all over the road, our students are going to be all over the road. Whereas if we are much more focused and organized and show them why we're doing what we're doing and how it applies to the real world and the real life, they see the value in it. Kids want to succeed. They don't want to fail. Systems make us fail. And so we need to change the system. And every teacher can be an educational leader. You know, Neil, when I mentor and coach teachers, I say to them, I want to walk the walk and teach in your classroom.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. We shake up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The cyber station, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
And sometimes that's virtually, right, based on the distance of where I might be providing things on a regular basis, although I do travel to distant locations. But also, you have to walk the walk of showing people how to use these strategies. But then there's the part of, now I want to tell you why I did it this way. Because if you don't, as a consultant, teach people the why behind your recommendations, you're not building their capacity to then understand the importance of it and then how they can personalize it to their own style of teaching.
Yes, and that's so true. And how you're able to do it. So give us the latest updates about the pact. Tell us.
Mm. Well, it's our 10-year anniversary this year, which
Congrats.
Is very exciting.
Yeah,
in the 2019-20 academic year. So a lot has happened. There certainly are newly published articles on the PACT in, from educational journals in both the U.S. and from Nexus Education
Fantastic.
Based in England. And those are available on aboutthepact.com. That's about, A-B-O-U-T, the, T-H-E, PACT, P-A-C-T. com on the articles and resources tab, and they're on topics ranging from meaningful inclusion, teaching executive functioning skills, elevating our tier one instruction in the general classroom, and improving reading comprehension, for example. So hop on there, download, read, learn, and I'm also working on my second book, which has been exciting. You know, I kind of took a break from formal manuscripts aside from the articles that I've written, because as you know, I have resources that I work on for teachers.
Yes.
We have the iPact app system in the Apple App Store, but we're always working on other projects as well, which you'll be hearing about in the near future. And then I do regular work now in South Africa, which has been so meaningful to me. It's something that matters. It's part of the umbrella of my Pay Forward campaign that I do, and I'm working with Leave No Girl Behind International. It's a global organization, and they are training young girls in leadership all over the world, and they are aligning their leadership principles and developing curriculum using the PACT teaching framework that I've authored. And so I just accepted an appointment on their board of directors because they just launched a school of leadership in Newcastle, South Africa. And so that's been so rewarding and exciting. So you'll be hearing a lot more about that and connecting to the United States and how that can work for people who are interested in implementing leadership curriculum. So stay tuned on that. And I'm also working on National Science Grant Committees. I'm specifically on one in Phoenix, Arizona that I just joined this past summer in 2019 for inclusive science curriculum in elementary school initiatives using the PACT as a delivery system of instruction. And it's really focusing on making curriculum accessible to special needs students through those above grade level and students that are English language learners, and every student in between. So it's inclusive educational curriculum aligned to the four modules of the PACT. So our fingers are crossed that we will get our funding to come through on that, and that's based out of Phoenix. So that's been exciting.
Yeah. Wow. A lot of things that we could talk about one at a time moving forward, like almost like a press release every time we do another interview, but kind of talking about the PACT, it's all about just the experience and the opportunities that you're reaching the entire world with this dream. And in 10 years, it's finally coming to fruition with all of these opportunities. And I think if I define you, Phil, I define you as an educator, as the fact that you don't look at whatever the disability, whatever the gender, whatever the background of each student, you look at, you come up with a plan for each individual student to be successful and teach it through your framework to teachers so that they can do it in a classroom of 30 to a classroom of two or one. And that's phenomenal.
That's so brilliantly put, Neil. Truly, you totally get the PACT. You really do, because that is exactly what it is. And it's also about putting students in leadership positions.
Yes.
That the teacher doesn't have to do everything. It's a misconception. Engagement comes from students knowing what their job is in a lesson, including all the one-on-one, you know, assistants that are helping our teachers out in classrooms. Everybody has a job. Everyone makes a contribution. No contribution is too small.
And that's the excitement. So what call to action do you want our listeners today to the first radio broadcast of All About the PACT radio show? What call to action are you giving educators you're going to share this to, teacher, administrators, and also your fans? What call to action today for them?
I would say hop on to aboutthepact.com. Listen to the free podcast. It's 7 minutes, me describing what the pact is. See how on our homepage, how it's being used in various locations in detail around the world. It's all free podcasts. And know that when you are going to spend time listening to a broadcast about all about the pact, what you're going to do is to walk away with what I call things you can do the very next day. Things that are so practical that you could just add it to your bag of tricks and say, wow, this is buildable. I could take what I learned in the last episode and build it to the next episode. And that's the connect the dots, that you could use it in a snap. And that's what I think we need in education, a much more common sense approach.
Absolutely. You've put it out there, and everyone needs to go ahead and do that and check out the website. And I guess for our next show, we have to look at all these laundry list of things you've talked about, you're promoting. I think we should talk about your work in Africa. Break that down for people, especially so we can show that global sense of things. But we'll figure it all out from there. This is just kind of, I call the pilot episode to many more episodes of All About the Pack radio show on the Neil Haley Network. And I appreciate you coming by to talk today, and you always excite me, because what I look at with your program and your framework is I have the same type of mindset when I work with kids and as a tutor one-on-one. I don't teach in the classroom anymore. I teach to many people all over the world every day in my radio shows, from coaching and teaching, but one-on-one teaching, when I tutor and I'm still in the laboratory, meaning the total tutor laboratory, I always look at specifically what you've told me and I've learned. Is you take each student and you break down what their skills are, what their weaknesses are, and tailor a program that meets their needs. And what you do, Phil, is that on steroids. Because of what you've developed through your research, and you're in the trenches every day. Working one-on-one versus the trenches where you have to make sure it works in a school and environment is a lot more difficult than the family environment where I work every day.
Well, I will tell you, you know, work is work, right? But my dad used to say to me, Neil, and I truly believe this, I just recently said it in a keynote address that I did, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. And I will tell you, kids pick up on that. Kids of all ability. Countless students have approached me from all different ages and have said, Phil, you love your job, don't you? And I say, how do you know that? Because you're always just so happy. You're always happy to be here. And that is so meaningful to me, Neil, because I feel like that was a life lesson that my parents taught us, is that you have to be able to work not just from your mind, but from your heart. And like you said, getting to know the individual child. So many of us focus on learning profiles, which has to do with what? A child's brain, right? Meaning, what is the best way they learn? What is the best way they absorb information? How can they best express information? And sometimes we forget, what is their passion, right? And that's the learning
exactly.
From the heart part. And if you miss that part, you're missing the boat. You're really missing the boat. And the pact embraces all of that. I'm so excited to share strategies moving forward and to discuss and dive in deeper in our next episode about the meaningful leadership work that we're doing in South Africa.
We absolutely get it and understand it. And that's the thing we need to infuse our teachers to believe you can do it. But you have to utilize people like Phil that get it. I mean, a lot of times these administrators just don't, it's not their fault. They just cannot figure out every grade level and everything, especially when their hands are tied. But working with someone like Phil will be a great resource for your classroom. So I appreciate you calling.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. It's always such a pleasure to connect with you. And it was my pleasure to have our conversation today. You know, as a final thought, I like what you said about administrators. Because teachers also could have the greatest intentions, but if they're not supported by their administrators, and I realized this long ago in my own journey, and Now I really feel that that a focus of my passion work is now working with administrative teams. For example, I am doing a large project here in New England to help administrators further systemize and assist them with their admin walkthroughs, you know, like when they're evaluating teachers just popping into their classrooms, because they need to further systemize what they're looking for, and teachers need to know that. And I love helping schools come up with their non-negotiables for what needs to happen in their building for meaningful and purposeful instruction. And so those are the kinds of things that I'm really excited to continue a dialogue about.
All right. Well, thanks again for calling. Appreciate it. And take care, Phil.
Okay, you too. Thanks, Neil.
Bye-bye. That was the All About the Pack radio show, everybody.
Before us, the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.